On today's Locked On Thunder podcast, the Oklahoma City Thunder have another comeback win over the Atlanta Hawks as Usman Jang keeps this team afloat and Josh Giddey takes over in the fourth quarter. SGA is another 30-point game, but how did the Thunder win these games? And their play style must just annoy other NBA teams. We'll talk about that coming up on today's Locked On Thunder podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's get it going on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. I am your host, Ryland Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryland underscore Styles. Follow the show on Twitter at LOThunderPod. Email the show, LOThunderPod@gmail.com. On today's show, we're diving into the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Atlanta Hawks. Jalen Williams impressed in the first half. Usman Jang makes a positive impact on this game, and SGA just continues to thrive. We're also going to talk about Josh Giddey's incredible fourth quarter that he put together. Thank you so much for making Locked On Thunder your first listen every single morning, every single day. We're here for you talking Thunder basketball. Subscribe for free across all podcasting platforms so you never miss an episode. And we're going to dive into this game. Starting out with, of course, our game overview. Kenny Hustle out with a knee sprain. He got tripped against Minnesota. Not sure if this knee sprain's in direct correlation to that or not. Had his best game against Minnesota, but now he's out with a knee sprain. Him and Chet Holmgren, who of course is out for the year with a foot injury, are the only two truly injured players on the injury report. Lindy Waters still in the G League, so he's on the report just as a G League assignment. But beyond that, the Thunder had a clean bill of health in this game. The Thunder also, though, elected to not play Darius Bazley, Eugene Omorui, and Jalen Williams. They were all DNP CDs. For the Hawks, DeAndre Hunter was out. John Collins was out. The Thunder start out with Josh Giddey, SGA, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara, and Jeremiah Robinson-Earl. That was also the exact same players who had the five most minutes, which is kind of atypical. The Thunder kind of usually start a group of five, and then the group of five at the end of the game that have the most minutes played is usually different. Not tonight. Tonight was the same five that had the most minutes played. The big thing tonight is that I think that the way that the Thunder play basketball has to infuriate other teams. It has to just get under their skin so much. So the Thunder get off to a nice start. Not their typical, you know, go down 15 points right out of the chute. They got off to a nice start. Then in the second quarter, they kind of had to weather a storm. They got down by 5, 6, 7 points. They had to call a timeout. They regrouped nicely from that timeout and got it right back on the road. The car was right back on the road. But then the third quarter hit, and not in a good way for Oklahoma City. This was a rare time where the third quarter went wrong. And so as we celebrate this game, and we celebrate the Thunder having a three-game winning streak, and you look, and you know their record's looking mighty fine for a team that some pegged for 20 wins. Let's not forget, The Athletic, you know, the well-respected Athletic, the well-respected John Hollinger, predicted this team would only win 20 games, a four-game regression from where they were last year. The Thunder sit at 11-13. And so, while we celebrate that, let's remember what was being said in that third quarter, by myself included on Twitter. No effort, you know, embarrassing third quarter, no effort, turnovers, they can't hold on to the basketball. No rebounding, just soft on the glass. The Thunder weren't getting any free throws. You know, SGA did not shoot his first free throw until the third quarter. And when you factor all that in, when it looks like the Thunder are finally going to have a game where they're playing with no effort, because other teams have to know with how much effort that they play by now. But when you're an opposing team and you see the Thunder, they finally give no effort. They finally don't have that third quarter punch right out of the gate. They're turning the ball over left and right. They're not getting on the glass. They're not putting a body on you whenever a shot goes up. There's no free throws given to SGA until the third quarter. And they're in their second stop of a five-game road trip that spans 11 days and goes across four time zones. Again, all of them are against playoff teams. In the NBA, You're supposed to pace yourself. It's supposed to be load management. It's supposed to be a pack-it-in league. The Thunder are supposed to pack it in when all those things go against them. They had every excuse in the book to just pack it in and lose by 10 points and just call it a day. Right? The game was bleak. The game was sloppy. Both teams were not playing as crisp as they wanted to, of course. The Thunder were playing very sloppy themselves. This was a game where, typically, it's almost like a baseball unwritten rule, where you just pack it in and you move on. But not the Thunder. The Thunder somehow flip a switch and just wear and grind the other team down and are able to claw back in this game and then win it. The Thunder got down by 14 points in this one, so almost another 15-point comeback, and everything was going wrong. That of course, leads us to Usman Jang and to these young players who flipped the script, but remember that play where SGA is running the fast break, makes an amazing dump-off pass to Lu Dort, who blew a wide-open layup. Just blew a wide-open layup, which led to multiple just awful turnovers, and it also led to the biggest Hawks lead of the night. Things looked so dark, and at that moment, the game felt over. It felt over at that moment. The Thunder had to dig deep after that play. And then Usman Jang goes on a 5-0 run to end the third quarter by himself, gets OKC within 10 points. And Usman Jang provides that spark and provides that just electric play and positive play that you need. But the Thunder have to just annoy opposing teams. This team just simply competes. Look, I'm not sure, again, as I've told you all year, this season's not about wins and losses, and I'm not sure how many they're going to get, but I can promise you they're going to be fun. This team is fun. At the end of the day, a game that at one point looked dark, looked lost, looked like they weren't showing you any effort, at some points looked like this was an embarrassing game in the sense of their worst effort performance in a long, long time in Oklahoma City. Probably their worst effort in terms of just how it appeared on the screen in Mark's whole career. Then they just flip a switch and they compete. This team might still finish where I think they're going to finish is, about 5 through 8, somewhere in there in the reverse standings on tankathon.com. That's where I think they're going to finish. But this team also could be a play-in team. I'm not sure. And I don't think that the Thunder are going to do anything. I think that the Thunder are going to just let it play out. I don't think that they're sure either. I don't think that Sam Presti knows how this will play out. But I think that the Thunder are going to let it play out. But this team just has to annoy other players and other fan bases and other organizations with the way that they never stop coming. They never stop coming. They never stop fighting. And in the NBA, that's kind of taboo. That's kind of outdated, so to say. But I want to talk about Usman Jang. I want to talk about Josh Giddey, SGA, and all the players that played well. But I do want to say right now that this show is brought to you by Turo. Turo is incredible. It's the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, whenever you want it, from a community of local hosts across the U.S., across U.K., Canada, Australia. Forget boring old rental cars. Find your drive at Turo.com. Whether you need an SUV or a minivan for that family road trip, you need a pickup truck to run some errands, or you just want to test drive an EV, go to Turo because every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. Forget boring or rental cars. Find your drive by going to Turo.com. They have everything you need for every occasion that you need it. Go check it out today, Turo.com. Check it out today. Forget about the boring rental car services. Go to the largest and league-wide ride share out there at Turo.com. We are back on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. I'm your host, media member and editor-in-chief over at ThunderousIntentions.com. Ryland Styles, you can follow me on Twitter at Ryland_Styles. The Thunder were led by Usman Jang in this one. Such a positive player in this game. A 5-0 run in the third, which got the Thunder back within 10. So many positive impact plays. 15 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, a steal. Went 3 for 4 from 3. And then from the floor, he shot 6 of 8. He looks really good and really comfortable on catch-and-shoot opportunities. shooting off the dribble, shooting, you know, kind of with momentum and movement might lag behind a bit, but the catch and shoot three ball from Usman James just physically looks really, really good. And something that I think that gets kind of lost is how well Usman runs the break. Even without the ball in his hands, whenever he's just even filling in the lane and trying to help the Thunder capitalize on a fast break, he knows when to be and where to go. And the Thunder have done a great job of drafting players who understand the game and understand film study and understand how to get better at stuff like that, at locations on the floor that you need to be standing in. That's half the battle. The real estate on the court is half the battle of getting open shots and producing good offense. So looked really good on the catch and shoot, looked really good running the break. And then, to cap it all off as a cherry on top, he had this great drive through the lane where he shot around the free throw line over Vidcrici and knocks it down off the dribble. Like there were just so many things that Usman Jang did in this game to show you that potential. And as I remind you with Jalen Williams, I have to remind you with Usman Jang as well. Usman Jang was picked 11th. Like, he was picked 11th, and the Thunder traded three first-round picks for him. And I know that the first-round picks had a lot of protections on them, but remember, when the Thunder acquired those first-round picks that they later flipped for Usman Jang, everyone was doing dances in the street, so we can't act like now they're just nothing. But Usman Jang is flashing high potential. And so when he flashes his potential, and he looked a lot better in the G League, as I told you on this podcast whenever he got recalled, he looked a lot better in the G League. When he flashes his potential, and the Thunder drafted him, and the Thunder traded three first-round picks to go get him, as smart as this organization is and this front office is, it makes you feel really good about the future. He plays really good defense for a rookie standards and shows a lot of promise to be able to be a versatile, lengthy defender that can switch, which is what the Thunder want to do. Usman Jang is coming into his own. Look at his last five games in the NBA. You're going to be very, very happy. Jalen Williams, he looked really good. What an amazing end of the half for Jalen Williams, by the way. He hits this running floater through the lane, going diagonal through the lane, then comes back on defense and locks down Trae Young to end the half. Just absolutely just tortured Trae Young and locks him down, can't get a shot off at the end of the half, which by doing so, you take away what was going to be an automatic 3 points from Trae Young over the rookie Jalen Williams, who just locked him down. So you take those away, plus you have the two-point floater on the other end. That's a nice swing for OKC, which OKC, because of that floater and because of that great defense, goes into the half only down by 5 points. And so that first half by Jalen Williams, 8 points, only one miss, two rebounds in this contest. Here's how Jalen Williams finished, though. And this is the next step in the evolution, the next step in his progression. So he gets 8 points in the first half. In the second half, and so for the entire game, you know, in the totality of the game, Jalen Williams had 12 points, 7 rebounds, an assist, a block. He went 0 for 1 from 3, finished 6 of 10 from the floor. The next step for him is to have two good halves put together. Smush these two halves, play the same way, be as assertive and be as physical and be as aggressive as you were in the other half. And oftentimes for him, it's the second half. Like oftentimes for him, the first half is where he's not sleepwalking, but he's playing a little bit more timid than normal or than he can be playing. Deferring a lot more in the first half. And then he just comes alive in the second half. In this game, he played more timid offensively or kind of just floating around offensively in the second half. And then in the first half, he played great, got 8 points. And so for him, that's the next step, is putting together two halves. Because he does such a good job of flowing as a rookie and keeping the offense in rhythm and keeping the team in a flow, that sometimes it's okay for the ball to stick to you. Sometimes. They don't want to go too crazy. We've seen that happen with Darius Bazley. You don't want to go too crazy with when the ball sticks to you or what you do with the ball in your hands, but you can be a little bit more aggressive in certain instances than Jalen Williams. So as he gets going and as he progresses in his NBA career, that's the next thing to watch for. His defense improving, which it has. Like, his defense looks really good for a rookie. And that's, of course, the caveat there. It has to improve in general, but for a rookie, looks good. And he has these certain moments where he just locks down Trae Young and guys like that, where he looks incredible defensively. He shows that potential with his length. He shows the potential to score at all three levels and play make on offense. He's just going to do it, sustain it for two halves, put two good halves together, which is the hardest part. That's the hardest part. And so we'll see how he does that throughout the rest of his career. But I've been really happy with this rookie class. The rookie class that we get to see, obviously. Chet Holmgren is still waiting in the wings. But even Jalen Williams out of Arkansas, he hasn't gotten the NBA opportunity yet. But in the G League, he corrected what the Thunder wanted him to do. You talk to Mark, you talk to Cam Woods, they both told me that the reason that Jay Will was down there with the Blue is because they need to see him play with more force offensively. Well, he did that. He was dunking the ball more. He was communicating really well defensively, playing really good defense, and then offensively was dunking the ball more, was being a great playmaker of the high post even. And so now he's recalled with the Thunder, but has not gotten that shot to show it that he's gotten better from that G League stint. The way that Usman got better in that G League stint. And so I'm interested to see this rookie class and how they progress. But J-Dub did great in the first half, needs to stay as aggressive in the second. And he had his annual halftime check-in on the cell phone on Instagram, which he tweeted about after the game. The guys at the Uncontested tweeted him that he had his annual repost on Instagram at halftime, and J-Dub said, always. So he did it. So far, he's true to his word, because he did it also whenever the Thunder were getting blown out by the Rockets, checked in at halftime on Instagram. So I guess he will just do that every game for the rest of his career, no matter how it's going. Let's see how long that lasts for J-Dub. But for now, it's a funny storyline. We'll talk SGA, and we'll talk Josh Giddey coming up. But first, I want to tell you right now about our good friends over at Bet Online, folks. Bet Online is incredible. You can be betting on these Thunder games if you want to. The Thunder are on quite the hot streak in the sense of bets this season. They won again tonight. Tonight they were 7.5-point underdogs, but they, of course, won the game outright, so they get you with the spread or the money line, whichever you prefer for OKC. You can also bet on tomorrow's Lakers-Cavs game. The Cavs are 4-point favorites at home over the LA Lakers. You can also bet on future odds, such as the championship odds. The Celtics are +350 and the title favorites. Next up is the Bucks, and then the Warriors at 750. The Thunder odds are actually at +75,000 ahead of the Pistons, Magic, Spurs, and Rockets. So that's interesting if you believe in this Thunder team to go on a miraculous run, but go check out BetOnline. BetOnline is where the game starts. We are back on the Lockdown Thunder podcast, on the Lockdown Podcast Network. Your teams every day. I am your host, Ryland Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryland_Styles. Let's talk SGA. 12 first half points from SGA, including an amazing baseline jumper. Took another hard fall in this game. Let's monitor that for the rest of the week. But he did take another hard fall where he was kind of wincing a bit. But the play of the game, like if you just had to show someone one play from this game, it was this incredible spinning through the lane and one dunk for SGA over Onyeka Okongwu. Like it was jaw dropping. Like if you play NBA 2K, it was something that he pulls off a lot in 2K. If you just drive with him to the basket and hit double square, hit square twice. But this spinning dunk was everything you'd want and more. Anytime that SGA dunks, it catches your attention. It's like Josh Giddey's threes. Whenever he dunks like that, it is a wow moment for sure. Finishes with 35 points, gets 2 steals, 5 assists, 6 rebounds. Had a really good defensive possession also, where he was defending on the help side, and the Hawks started to throw a lob play that he just broke up. Did a great job sticking his hand in the cookie jar and getting the lob play to be, of course, null and void. He shot 10 of 25 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3, but shot 15 for 15 at the free throw line, even though he did not get his first free throws until the third quarter. But still, got five free throws in the third quarter, then got the 10 in the fourth quarter, and that was the difference. And that shows the resilience of SGA, because we know how SGA plays. He played the entire first half. He scored 12 points, and we know how he's getting those buckets without going to the line. It's attacking downhill. And so he's attacking downhill and attacking downhill. He's not getting the call, getting a little frustrated, but he keeps going downhill. And eventually the whistle has to go your way. Imagine if SGA saw in the first half he wasn't getting his calls, so then was kind of shy or timid or tried to change his game and went instead to these sidestep threes or went instead to shooting more mid-range shots. He didn't do that. He played his game in control that he could control, which was, I can still get downhill, and eventually you're going to give me the call, and eventually they did give him the call. But you don't get those calls, you don't get these 15 free throws, if you just, after the first half, go, okay, I guess I'm just going to jack up threes this game, because I'm not getting any calls down low. No, keep applying the pressure, put on more steam, and eventually things will break your way, and it did for SGA in this one. So I thought that was really, really good from SGA. And for Josh Giddey, man, he went 1 for 2. On logo threes, because he had to just chuck up two of them because of the possession stalling and the shot clock winding down. But that logo three, I would not trade it in for the world. That was incredible from Josh Giddey, who scores 17 points in this game for the Thunder. He had 17 points in this one. 12 of them came in the fourth quarter, which were great to see from Josh Giddey, who took over in the fourth quarter. Josh Giddey, let's review. 17 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal, a block, 1 turnover. What were the biggest knocks on Josh Giddey this year? The turnovers being an issue, down to 1 in this game. And the shooting, scoring ability, he had 17, including 12 fourth quarter buckets. You know, 12 fourth quarter points. With only 1 turnover to shoot, you know, to boot. Steal, a block, 2 for 4 from 3. 1 for 2 in the logo category. But 2 for 4 from 3 overall. 41% from the floor. He just took over this game in the fourth quarter like he did against Minnesota. I've been pleading with you to give this guy time to grow, and he's showing you why. He can take over games. Him and SGA can work together, but he hasn't even played in 82 NBA games yet. So you're going to have to give him time. You're going to have to let him thrive eventually. So when he has games like against New York and against Boston and against Minnesota and against now Atlanta, you're seeing the potential of what this pairing and duo can be. You're seeing how the Thunder can survive the SGA-less minutes in the fourth quarter to start things out. That's whenever Josh Giddey takes over. Did it also against Chicago. Did it also, you know, in all these various games where he plays a really good fourth quarter, no matter how he starts out the game. And in this one, he had 12 fourth quarter points. Isaiah Joe had a nice game, 3 for 4. He only shot three-pointers, had a nice sidestep, step-back three even. 2 assists, 2 steals as well. It's getting dangerously close to where Isaiah Joe is demanding rotational minutes. Just demanding them. Because if you rank this roster, how many pieces can you, forgetting about expectations, burning your expectations and assumptions, as Sam Presti would say. How many people can you realistically put above Isaiah Joe and who deserves minutes? We're going to do that later on this week, so stay tuned for that on the Locked On Thunder podcast. I think that Jeremiah Robinson played really well too. 10 points, 6 rebounds, 2 for 2 from 3. Would even like to see him pop another 3. There was a play where he got the ball swung to him at the top of the key, and he was being defended at the free throw line. I would have liked to see him just shoot that 3 without hesitation. He kind of hesitated a little bit and then just kept the ball moving and didn't take advantage of that lack of respect from 3-point line. Now, inside the arc, he went 2 for 4. That's, of course, going to have to improve in the future. But I think that JRE is proving himself to be a legitimate rotational piece in the NBA. And I think that his future with OKC is a little wonky or a little less cut and dry. But this is a guy that can really play and can really help an NBA team. And I think it'll be the Thunder, but that's going to be some tough waters to navigate throughout these next couple of off seasons. So how did the Thunder win this game? Atlanta once led by 14 points. The Thunder once led by 9. There were 11 lead changes and 7 ties. The Thunder were out-rebounded 54 to 49. The Thunder, despite committing 2 fewer turnovers than Atlanta, who had 18 turnovers, lost the points off of turnovers by 9, 19 to 10. OKC had 2 more points in the paint. The teams tied in second chance points with 17. OKC had 3 more fast break points, 19 to 16. The Thunder shot better from the floor, from 3, and from free throw. That's how you win. The Thunder shot 45% from the floor. Hawks shot 43. Thunder shot 35% from three, despite their horrendous, like, 0 for 11 start from three. They shot 35% from three. Hawks shot 34. Thunder shot 95% the free throw line. Hawks only cashed in on 76% of their free throws. The Thunder had six in double figures. Atlanta had five. Trae Young had 23 points, but shot just 31%. And then Jonte Murray had 24 points on 47%. OKC by the day, 7.5. That cashed in. And then the MVP of the game. I let you all vote on Twitter who the MVP of the game was. A lot of write-ins for Usman Jang, rightfully so. That's why we led the show off with Usman Jang. But the fan vote was SGA, who was the MVP. But as you know, I like to give a lot of credit to multiple players in this category because it's going to be SGA every single game for who the MVP is, and that's just the way that the cookie crumbles. So, with that being said, how would you grade this game on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it was a near-perfect game for your expectations and what you want to see, 0 being it was a terrible game. I don't think that anyone's going to give it a 0. But also, who in your mind played the biggest role in this game? Because I think that the debate can go a long ways. You can go to SGA, who is, of course, at 35 points. You can go to Josh Giddey, who took over the fourth quarter. And you can go to Usman Jang, who really saved the game in the sense of made it competitive enough in the third quarter to end the third quarter to even give Josh Giddey a chance to take over the game, to even give SGA a chance to win the game, right? Like, he's the reason why he had a shot to win the game. So is it Usman? Is it Josh Giddey? Is it SGA? Let me know in the comment sections on YouTube. Subscribe across all podcasting platforms so you never miss an episode. And I'll remind you again on tomorrow's show and Wednesday's show. But you can watch Wednesday's Grizzlies game with me on Watch Playback. So just go to Watch Playback, look up Lockdown Thunder. You can watch the game with me over there. You can actually see the game and, of course, hear me talk about the game in real time over there on Watch Playback. So go check that out. Follow me on Twitter for the link at Ryland_Styles. And until tomorrow, be good and be good to one another.